Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up delivered through the AI podcast channel. I'm your host as usual, Guy Drinkle. Carl's with me. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about you?
Busy. Liverpool signing every player in the world in one day, considering they've only had 4 months to do it. But decided to do it on a Friday when I was looking forward to a quieter day. But anyway, other than that, I am good. We're here for the second week in a row, Carl. We promised and we delivered.
Yeah, we're getting better at sticking to our word on these things.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing you know why we're here, because the title's going to be something Sony related. And obviously there was the Sony conference thingy on Wednesday. But we're going to quickly do the news. There's only a couple. Carl, maybe we just go through these quickly because they're not the biggest ones. Nintendo 3DS officially discontinued.
Yeah, so this story comes from Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer, and I'd urge you to read the full story from Tom over there if you haven't already. After a 9-year run and more than 75 million units sold, Nintendo has officially killed off the 3DS. Production has now ceased on all 3DS hardware models, including the new Nintendo 3DS and new Nintendo 2DS XL. Quote, we confirm that the manufacturing of the Nintendo 3DS family of systems has ended, end quote, a Nintendo spokesperson said. Quote, Nintendo and third-party games for the Nintendo 3DS family of system will continue to be available in Nintendo eShop on Nintendo.com and at retail. The existing library of more than 1,000 Nintendo 3DS games contains many critically acclaimed titles and can provide years of content to explore and enjoy, end quote. There's no expectation that the 3DS eShop or online services will be affected in the near future. And you can get the full story over on Eurogamer. So not too surprising, this one, Guy, when you consider the Switch Lite launched last year, which seemed like a direct replacement for the 3DS and 2DS. And obviously, not so long ago, I think we had a story about the eShop ending in certain countries. So it felt like they were kind of gearing up to this one. But I mean, it didn't really have the worst of lives. I mean, it was a nine year run for the console, which isn't half bad.
Yeah, I mean, I never had the 3DS, but I had the, I can't remember if it was the second iteration of the DS or the first one. Might have been the second. But I remember playing it. It was, Nintendo used to be the king of handheld gaming. I mean, it still is, really. See, that's the only one there, apart from mobiles, and maybe cloud gaming will catch up, but it's not there yet. But yeah, I mean, Nintendo handheld is just, I think it's always had a place in someone's heart, especially people our age, whether it's the original Game Boy, I had the Advanced, and the DS, as I say, and people making new memories with the Switch now, so I'm sure there's people who maybe had the 3DS when they were kids, or even just gamers like then. But it's kind of a bit outdated now with the versatility of the Switch, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, like it felt like this was inevitable given the strong position of the Switch. And, you know, I think last year they kind of announced that the last 3DS game would be coming out. I do wonder long term if they'll try and do something kind of as far as making the Switch backwards compatible with 3DS games digitally. Obviously, they can't really do anything on the physical side. But I do wonder if you'll be able to kind of download eShop titles on the Switch at some point in the future, at least kind of the main ones anyway, you know, your big first party titles. But I mean, it's not so long ago I was kind of watching a piece on Nintendo's history, and you know, obviously when Iwata came in and took over as CEO, the 3DS was seriously struggling, and it was him who obviously announced the price cut, which was a notable price cut, and then they tried to appease early adopters by making them ambassadors and giving them kind of exclusive GBA titles, I think it was at the time, that they would only be able to get. So it was an interesting approach to the problem, but obviously it worked because the console ended up selling 75 million units and lasted for a 9-year run. So it's always a shame. There's always a weird sadness attached to a successful console being discontinued when you read the news, but it's just the way the industry goes at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We'll move on. Rayman creator Michel Ancel, is that how we pronounce it?
Yeah. Ancel.
Says he's quit video games to open a wildlife sanctuary.
Yeah, so this was a bit of a weird story. And I know we like a bit of Beyond Good and Evil 2 news, so I thought I'd throw this in. And the story comes from Joseph Screbbles over at IGN. So go over there and read Joseph's full story if you haven't already. And Joseph writes, Michel Ancel, creator of Rayman and Beyond Good and Evil, has said he's leaving the world of video games to open a wildlife sanctuary, but assured fans that work on Wild and Beyond Good and Evil 2 will continue without him. Posting on Instagram, the director wrote, quote, "Today is a very special day for me. After more than 30 years, I've decided to stop working on video games and fully focus on my second passion, wildlife. My new project takes place in the real world and consists in a wildlife open sanctuary dedicated to education, nature lovers, and wild animals," end quote. Addressing his currently ongoing projects, Ancel reassured fans, quote, "Many of you might want to know what will happen to Wild and Beyond Good and Evil 2. No worries, since many months now the teams are autonomous and the projects are going super well. Beautiful things to be seen soon," end quote. And again, you can get the full story over on IGN. So a bit of a departure for Michel Ancel from video games to wildlife.
Yeah, why not? I mean, Beyond Good and Evil's never coming out, is it?
Yeah, that's really the question I was going to ask. You know, we not so long ago, after all the revelations at Ubisoft, and obviously some people involved in the high up in the Beyond Good and Evil 2 team were involved in that, and obviously its absence from the recent Ubisoft events, you know, we'd already suggested we think this game is caught in a development hell, and I really think that now with obviously the main man departing. I mean, like, Michel Ancel, it's been a weird one with him for a while. He left Ubisoft, founded his own team studio, who were immediately hired as contractors by Ubisoft to work on some Ubisoft projects. I think Wild was supposed to be a PlayStation exclusive, as far as I recall.
I'm not familiar with that. What is it?
Heard anything on that? Again, it's been so many years since it was announced that I'm even drawing a blank. I remember it was brought up on something I was reading recently.
If you search wild game, it comes up with meat, so don't put that in.
It's a open world survival adventure game developed by French developer Wild Sheep Studio, which was Michel Ancel's studio. He founded when he left Ubisoft, and was going to be published by Sony Interactive Entertainment for the PlayStation 4. So I don't know whether it's gone multi-plat now or if it's moving to PlayStation 5. And obviously he's claiming it's still in development, but we don't know. So I guess I don't think there's been an update from Wild Sheep Studio in terms of kind of their leadership now and that. So I suppose that's something we're going to have to wait for before we know more about this game. But I mean, it is a strange one to see him depart the studio with two notable projects in the works. But, I mean, obviously, he's following his passion. So, good luck to him.
I do not remember this game. I'm looking at the video now. Oh, that's weird. Yeah, anyway. That's probably the quickest we've ever got through the news, Carl, and I'm really proud of us. And I've just closed Google Docs, which has got the run order for the PlayStation on. So if you bear with me, we will get on to the PlayStation stuff as soon as my phone stops being stupid, listeners. There we go. So, Carl, you're the PlayStation guy. Overall thoughts?
I thought it was a really solid showing. There wasn't a massive amount in terms of game announcements. It was more focused on a lot of games we already knew about. Obviously, a large focus on the likes of Spider-Man Miles Morales and Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. Those two games probably got the largest screen time. Demon Souls was quite close as well. So I think it was the focus seemed to be, you know, this is what you've seen already, but here's more of that with a lot of gameplay, which is what you kind of want to see at this stage. You don't want to be seeing just simple trailers or, you know, people on screen talking about the game. You want to see that gameplay. That's what's going to sell these games. And we got that. But there was obviously some announcements and we will get to them in time. So I thought it was a solid showing. They got out the information they needed to, the price, the date, talked a little bit about the service. But they didn't talk about it too much. I think it was a well-delivered message, and I have to hand it to Sony. They have been nailing it as far as delivering their message in recent times. I mean, how did you think it went, and how did you think it compared to Xbox's recent events overall?
Yeah, I think it's been the best one of the... Has it been summer? It's been a long time. Feels longer. Let's just
extended
say summer.
Summer.
Extended summer. Let's go. I think it's been the best one of the extended summer. I don't think there was any huge surprises. I think God of War was rumored beforehand, which, I mean, rumors, I mean, surprises don't really happen anymore in this industry because they always get leaked beforehand. But maybe Final Fantasy was a bit of a surprise, and maybe God of War, if you're not... like a Twitter haul like I am. But other than that, I think it just kind of built on the previous show quite nicely, as you said. Harry Potter as well. We'll get into Harry Potter. I mean, before we get into it, I mean, do you want to go through the price rather than finish on it? Because it's a bit boring. PS5 full, same price as the Xbox Series X. Is that what you expected?
Yeah, I knew they'd kind of go toe-to-toe. I don't think Sony were going to try and undercut Xbox, but at the same time, I think they wouldn't dare go above, even despite their lead in the current generation. So I think that was completely expected and no surprise there.
Yeah, and the digital edition being £360, do you think they knocked off £40 because of the Series S?
I don't think so, because I think... Early on, you know, I recall having a conversation with Matt, who obviously previously appeared on the show, about this kind of early doors. And, you know, our expectation was that the digital edition would be €50 or £40 cheaper. And, you know, to him, he said that wouldn't make the difference between picking up a PS5 or a digital edition. But about a week later, rumors started widely circulating that it would be €100 or £90 cheaper. And he said, well, that is a game changer, and that extra €50 could make all the difference in terms of his own decision. So, you know, this hasn't really blindsided me because it's been expected for a while. I'm going to be very intrigued to see how the pricing comes across. That we talked about it a bit last week with the Xbox Series S launching at €299 and pound, is it £259?
£250, I think.
£250. Yeah, £250. So that's even better. Like that. Like, I wonder how that will look, because obviously your dedicated gamer is going to know, well, the PS5's no digital edition is no weaker than the actual PS5. It just lacks a drive. Whereas they're going to know that the Series S has some steps down on the Series X in terms of graphical power. But your kind of run-of-the-mill family necessarily won't know that. And €100 or £110, which is crazy, like that is going to make a big difference. So I do still wonder if Xbox might still corner the casual market, you know, the casual market outside the real casual Switch market, but that's kind of a different, that's kind of its own thing.
Different
so,
market.
Yeah, so I do still think that you know, Microsoft might have the edge there in terms of being the real bargain, but I do think that digital edition of the PS5 will prove attractive to a lot of people, especially when, you know, it sounds like certain games will be digital only. And we're obviously going to discuss one of those that was displayed at the event. So it'll be very interesting to see kind of the decision. Like, a lot of people already I know have opted for the digital edition. It's just me who's stuck in the past and loves his discs and wants an actual PS5. Plus, I own like 150 PS4 games, so I'm not quite ready to kind of leave them behind. So
have they confirmed whether you can actually use your PS4?
You can. Oh, you can. They have confirmed that.
Cool. Release date. Staggered for worldwide, probably because of Brexit, let's be honest. the 12th for a few countries. It was
USA,
North,
Mexico,
North America,
Japan,
wasn't it,
South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada.
Brexit,
I believe.
Bastards. Never thought this far ahead, did you? And 19th for, well, you lot.
Mainly Europe. Mainly Europe.
You lot.
I suppose a few kind of, it's maybe some kind of Western Asian countries and South America, I guess. But I mean, when a PS5 is probably going to cost you like $2,000 in Brazil, you're not really going to be affording a PS5 anytime soon. So
true. 9 days after the Xbox worldwide, I mean, it seems quite a lot, but they don't usually release on the same day, do they?
No, I think it usually quite tight. It's been quite tight in the past. Well, at least last generation. Obviously, the generation before, the Xbox was over a year ahead of the PlayStation in most territories. But I don't think it's really, it's not a big enough difference. I mean, obviously, it would have been interesting if, say, the Xbox was launching in November and the PlayStation wasn't launching until next February. Then, you know, you'd wonder if some people might go over to
you
Xbox.
Say that like I don't get two extra days of Cyberpunk on my Xbox. I couldn't be asked either, mother.
I don't have a PS5 pre-ordered yet, guys.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm sniffing around trying to secure one. So
is the pre-order still not back up?
Not yet.
Oh, God.
And keep an eye
Dear
out.
Me. I'll have to keep an eye out for you. I think a couple of my mates as well, they're looking for pre-orders, so I'll keep an eye out. I think I think it might have been Neil who was telling me that they made less of the digital version. So I think you might be cornered into getting the full one, which unfortunately you want. But yeah, it's fair dues. It's fair dues. No, I'm not surprised with the price, and I'm not surprised the digital one pretty much sold out instantly, considering the price. Let's get into the show then. First surprise of the night, really, is Final Fantasy 16. How did Roman numerals nearly throw me off there? I am a grown man. 16. Yeah, I mean, it kind of got rumoured just before. But the fact that, I'm guessing by your colour coordination, it's a timed exclusive. Which is lovely, by the way. But a timed exclusive, seemingly. We're not sure how long yet, unless that got released and I missed it. It looked Final Fantasy-y. Let's go with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've known Final Fantasy 16 has been coming for a while. If you're a fan of that series like I am, you keep in on things. And we knew it was in the plans for Square, but I might have thought it was a little bit further off than this, so I am surprised. You know, the way I would have, you know, I joked with Matt not so long ago on inevitably Square Enix will just show a logo for Final Fantasy 16 and it won't come out for 7 years. But I mean, we've seen a hell of a lot more than a logo. It seems like this is a well-established project.
Yeah.
It's clearly being developed off the Final Fantasy 15 engine because it's the same battle system. It's very familiar. And obviously, that battle system, some people didn't like it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the gameplay a lot. But some fans kind of feel it's a massive departure from classic Final Fantasy gameplay.
That is me. I enjoyed my replay through 7, which looked very potato-y. I didn't even finish 15. I got a bit bored of it. But I can see, obviously, it needed updating. So I can see people still enjoying it, but I couldn't finish 15.
Look, yeah, no, I mean, it certainly was a game that divided opinions, but I mean, as I said, I come from the bias of liking it because I put about 100 hours into Final Fantasy 15. So, I mean, this will obviously be a definite pick up for me. I like the way it looks like they're gone to more of a fantasy setting. You know, obviously it's always fantasy, but I mean it's more like high fantasy. It's like medieval type.
Yeah,
you know, people are riding around on chocobos instead of driving convertibles, which is a big difference there. So I'm really intrigued, but I'm still skeptical as to when we might see it. My best guess is probably 2022 at the moment, but it could be a holiday 2021 game.
Mm. It didn't give a tease or anything, did it?
No, there's no date at all. As far as the exclusivity goes, they referred to it as a console exclusive with a star and then had below that it will launch on PC. But I've read since that apparently how it's going to work is it'll come to PS5 first. 6 months later, it'll come to PC, and 12 months later, it's free to come to Xbox Series S and X. So that seems to be how it's going to work, which doesn't surprise me because I Square have kind of stepped away from their PlayStation exclusivity and
17 will be out by then.
Cross platform, yeah. So it didn't surprise me at all that it's going to come to Xbox as well eventually, but sure. Why not? The more people who play it, the better.
What comes out first on Xbox? The 7 remake or that?
7 remake, I'd say.
Yes.
I'd expect 7 remake like to be announced for Xbox Series S and X very soon. And that I'm sure maybe that the PS4 version will play better on PS5. They better not try and resell it. I'm getting tired of companies doing that. I mean, we'll get to one of those in a moment.
We'll touch on the prices when we get there. Spider-Man, do you want to start off with the negative discussion or the positive discussion?
Let's go with the negative.
What do you think about the games being cross-gen after Sony kind of saying this is a PS5 game, it's only a PS5 game? What do you make about that Horizon Zero Dawn 2 there was something else, and I can't remember. What do you make about the early exclusive being cross-gen?
It doesn't really bother me, to be honest. I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about, like, you and I, the game we seem to be most looking forward to playing on our next-gen consoles early is Cyberpunk, which is a game that's going to be on current-gen consoles anyway. We just want to play it at the best it can be. And you know, similarly, you talked about how you want to play Watch Dogs Legion eventually, but again, you want to play the best version it could be. And the same thing applies here. If you want to play the best version of Spider-Man Miles Morales, or indeed Horizon Zero Dawn, I'm blanking on the name at the moment.
It's got West in there somewhere.
I'll get it now in a second. But you're the fact you're blanking on that. I'm completely blanking now. But the fact that you can play those games on your old consoles, if you want to stick with the old console, fine. But if you want to play the best version of those consoles, you're going to be playing Forbidden West. Fill in there. Got it back.
We
there.
Got West Forbidden. Right. That's all that matters.
Yeah. So you're going to want to play them on the new consoles if you want the best version. So that option's there for you. And that's just generally how console launches are. There'll be a handful of games that'll be exclusive, but a lot of the games end up being cross-platform because they want to sell as many copies as possible. So I don't really see why there's a bit of outrage. I can understand maybe because Sony specifically said, you know, that PlayStation 5 games will be on PlayStation 5 and end of. So I can certainly understand why people are annoyed at the miscommunication, but of the thing itself doesn't bother me, and I can't see why it bothers people. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the situation itself doesn't bother me. I just find it funny that you look on, like, I know I'm the Xbox guy here, but I'm not a fan. Well, I am a bit of a fanboy, but I don't partake in console war bullshittery. But you look at any, like, you just go on Twitter, mainly Twitter, because who the hell goes on comments on Facebook? It's just a cesspit. But you go on Twitter and you look under any IGN article, GameSpot article, or anything like that, it's like, PS5 fanboys going on about exclusives for the PS5. It's just stupid. It's just bloody stupid. It's probably the worst example because Halo looked dog shit, let's be honest. But you had people going on about how Halo was limited by the fact it's on Xbox One as well. It just doesn't happen like that. Like, PCs, like, range from, like, potatoes to, like, God tier. And they're still made for the same thing. It's just very fanboyery to complain about stuff like that. But I just find it weird that Sony marketed that quite strongly. So they must have knew it was developed for both. But maybe they screwed up there a wee bit.
I mean, I can get that, like, the thoughts on Halo and how it looked, and kind of blaming that on trying to get it to play on Xbox One as well. Well, but I mean, that's just the way it's always been. Like, I'm thinking of the games that came out, obviously, on the cusp of last gen, like, going into this gen, you had, like, Call of Duty Ghosts and Assassin's Creed.
Black Flag.
And they had the same situation. You know, they were dragged down somewhat, I suppose, by the fact that they were coming across the two generations, but it's just how it is. I mean, like I just talked about, clearly Final Fantasy 16 is on the Final Fantasy 15 engine. They're not, like, completely stepping away from that and creating something new using new technology. It takes time to really adapt to a new generation to get the most out of it. So, I mean, this doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't suddenly make Spider-Man Miles Morales look worse than it does or Horizon Forbidden West at all. Like, that's, they still look like fantastic games, and I still want to play them. So it just doesn't bother me at all that they're going to be available to PlayStation 4. And it's good for the gamers that they're like, you know, let's be honest, more than ever, a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford these new consoles on launch. We talked about it last week. You know, everyone's not in the same position as you and I, Guy, that our professions weren't affected by the global pandemic and the resulting recession of sorts. You know, so they won't be able to afford that. So it'd be a shame. But maybe they can still afford a 50 quid game, and now they'll be able to play that 50 quid game that they were looking forward to on their PlayStation 4. So, you know, we shouldn't try and begrudge other gamers the games that we want to play, you know?
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point, I think. I think it's the right thing to do, because although it looked mint, it's still Spider-Man 1.5 Miles Morales. Obviously, it's going to add, I think it was like 25 hours extra content, which is a big DLC, but for me, it's still 1.5 rather than a standalone game, if you get what I mean. So I think the fact people like me, I'd love to play this game. Obviously, we did the Spider-Man review. It's one of the only PlayStation games I've played this gen. So this might be something I pick up eventually, maybe not straight away, because I'll be playing other games on my Xbox Series X. but like, it doesn't make me rush into getting a PS5, which I will get probably next year, hopefully, when God of War comes out, because that is the game, let's be honest. But we'll get to that at the time. So yeah, let's get into Spider-Man properly then. I mean, what did you think of it? I mean, did you think it looked much of an upgrade on Spider-Man when it came out, 2018, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Spider-Man, what did you see a difference between them two in terms of quality?
It seemed a little faster to me from what we see, which, you know, makes sense given the increased processing power of these consoles. It looked, you know, there wasn't a massive visual step up, but there certainly is a step up. But at the same time, it does seem like very much the same game with a glossier paint on it. But that's fine. That's what we wanted. You know, that game, we when we reviewed that game, we talked about how there was some small things you could improve. And something tells me they're going to have improved those things in Miles Morales, and that's all we can ask for. And I mean, it was nice to see extended gameplay, because it was very disappointing at the last event that they announced this game, and all we got was like a 20-second trailer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I feel they've rectified that now, which is nice, and certainly adds to my hype for the game. I mean, what were your thoughts in terms of comparing it to the original?
Yeah, I think it looked quite similar, same to you. Obviously, they were run, I think the message before it was PC, but experience of a PS5, wasn't it? So it's obviously going to look better. I think it's pretty much what you said. It's what we want. Like, we're not expecting the Mona Lisa compared to a potato print at nursery, because I don't think it'll be that big of a jump in the early part of the gen, as you said. People are still figuring stuff out, the power of the next-gen consoles and stuff like that. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting a huge jump. Looks a bit better. It's kind of hard to compare without playing it yourself, because if you remember when Spider-Man first got shown, Spider-Man, I'm going to start calling it Miles Morales and Spider-Man, when that was first shown, that the helicopter chase scene, when that was crashing into the building and stuff like that, that it still looked a bit like that with that bridge sequence. So I don't think there's a huge thing there, but it looked like small improvements on the first one, exactly as you said. So yeah, it I think it's the perfect launch game. You don't, obviously, we've got the third party titles that are going to be 100 odd hours plus with CD Projekt Red, and Creed's going to be a bit hefty as well, not as hefty as the other ones, I hope. But a 20-hour fun experience, I think that's kind of the perfect launch game, isn't it? Because PlayStation, it's already had its heavy game to end the gen. You don't want another heavy game to start the next gen, so I think it's the perfect one, really.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, I go back to when we first discussed it and the fact that it kind of really blindsided me because I was not expecting a Spider-Man follow-up so soon. Now, the fact it's, you know, it's not an exact sequel kind of made sense in that way once we found that out. But it still was a nice surprise. And I do think, as you say, that it makes a lot of sense as one of the key launch titles.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I might pick it up for, as I said, I might pick it up for PS4 eventually. Or do I just wait for the PS5? Who knows? Who knows? There might be a lull period next year and I'll get it. A game that I'm... people who listen to this, and obviously Carl being in WhatsApp and stuff with me, I can't wait for the Harry Potter game. I was so happy when this popped up, Carl.
Yeah, I thought of you as soon as it popped up. It was quite a surprise to see it on the event. It's interesting that it doesn't have Harry Potter in the title, just Hogwarts Legacy.
I did not even notice. I mean, he's not in it, is he?
That's probably, true, but yeah. Obviously Harry Potter is the franchise. I mean, what did you think? Obviously, the big talking point of this has been the fact that Warner Brothers have come out of their way to confirm that J.K. Rowling has no involvement in the project. How insane is that?
Yeah, and I haven't followed the transphobia situation from start to finish. Obviously, I'm not sure what she's done. I should really go research this because it's probably important. But I'm not sure what she's exactly done, but she's obviously pissed off the trans community. But the fact that they've used that as a selling point that she wasn't involved, it's kind of amazing, really. But, I mean, if you piss off a whole community of people, yeah, I suppose you have to do it, really. But yeah, it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to think that, you know, at one point it would have been thought as, you know, so important that you have J.K. Rowling tied to a project, so it gives it that, you know, kind of legitimacy because of the, you know, the Potter fans are such a fierce fan base. But now suddenly to be distancing from her, it's just a crazy turn of events. But you can really understand it. I mean, given a couple of key points, obviously, I think generally year by year, we're moving more and more kind of politically correct friendly in terms of mediums of the various mediums of media. And then also, particularly the video games industry it's been a front runner in terms of, you know, political correctness. You know, that there's so many trans game developers and journalists and media people, you know, comparatively to other kind of industries in that would be in the public eye, that I think it was massively important for them to do so given the controversy. But it's still weird to read it out loud.
It absolutely is, and you make a good point about if this was made, hell, even 3 years ago, well, if it was released 3 years ago even, saying that she was involved, you'd probably go, yeah, it's going to feel like Harry Potter. Like, I don't know why I love this game this much, love the idea of this game so much, because I'm not even that big a fan of the books or the films, really. It's just, I think it's just an untapped thing in the gaming world. Obviously, you had the film games and stuff like that and crappy phone games, but we've never really had a... Is it open world or is it kind of sandboxy? I think it's meant to be open world within Hogwarts, isn't it?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, that seems to be the setting. Obviously, I gather it seems to be what every Harry Potter gamer has always wanted. You know, let me pretend I'm at Hogwarts, and that's what it's giving them.
Yes.
So, I'm not I appreciate Harry Potter, but I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, so I don't think this one's going to tickle my fancy. But I mean, I even thought of like a friend of mine who's a huge Harry Potter fan, but wouldn't be a gamer in any sense. And I wondered if they could be tempted by something like this. They may well be just to give it a go if they got the chance. So, I mean, this is definitely going to appeal to the Harry Potter fans. It's kind of a no-brainer, and you do wonder why they haven't done it previously. I know kind of back in the day when they were first making Harry Potter games, the ability to make an open world game like this wasn't possible, but it has been for a while now, and I'm surprised it's taken them, 10 plus years to do something like this.
It really is strange, because you think of all the licenses Warner Brothers have, they've, I'll say milked for the want of a better word, but they've milked these, well, Batman pretty much dry. That's why Rocksteady moved on to Suicide Squad. Obviously, we've still got Gotham game. What the hell is that game called? The other Batman game that's coming out.
Gotham Knights.
That's the one. I don't know why I couldn't remember word Knights, even though I said it many times. But yeah, they've still got that coming out, so they're still milking that. They had Lord of the Rings for a few years with the Shadow of series. It's just a strange one, really, because you think maybe it was just technical limitations. I don't even remember if they were making film games towards the end. I'm sure everyone remembers the PS1 and PS2 ones where Ron looks like a potato and haunts people's nightmares. But yeah, it just looks like it's been a wasted opportunity, because you've even got, you've had Harry Potter, The Deathly Hallows was, oh God, that must be over 5 years ago now. Must be. And then you've got the other series, which has got, holy hell, what are the other films called with Johnny Depp in? The Beast one.
Fantastic Beasts. That's and the where one. To find them.
That's the one. We've obviously had them in the last few years as well. So it just seems like, I don't know, they kind of missed the timing of it, but mate, I think the Fantastic Beasts series is, I'm not sure if it won't be as popular as Harry Potter, I don't think, but I'm sure that the next film of that will be out in the next couple of years, so maybe they want to time it with that, if it's not been affected too much by COVID and stuff like that. But yeah, see, it just seems weird, doesn't it? Because Harry Potter was once, it was once the biggest series in film, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, certainly right up there. I mean, obviously, at first it was kind of alongside the Lord of the Rings, but Lord of the Rings was come and gone in the space of 3 years. Well, Harry Potter was stretched out a lot longer. But it was certainly like comparable to kind of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and for its time. And it's as I said, it was kind of a surprise they didn't kind of take advantage of that more so with games. Like, I know those movie tie-ins always sold quite fairly well. I know a lot of people who were extremely casual gamers kind of in their pre-teens, teens, who had all those games. So they certainly sold, but as I said, I'm surprised they didn't take kind of more of a chance on kind of bigger projects, let's say, and like this would be. It's strange that the timing of it, as I said, I still think the game will do really well, but I just wonder how well this game might have done even 5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, you're not the biggest Harry Potter fan. What did you actually make of the look of the game? Is it something you're obviously not going to spend the full price on, by the sounds of it, but if you had the chance to play it, you reckon you'd enjoy it?
I'd certainly give it a try. I mean, if someone had it and said give that a go, which often happens with games that I kind of overlook, or if it's in way down the road was added to kind of any kind of game service, I'd certainly give it a try because it is. I mean, who doesn't like the idea? If you're even like a fair weather Harry Potter fan, who doesn't like the idea of being a student at Hogwarts and getting to explore it? Like, you know, you're gonna enjoy it to some degree, assuming it's a well-made game. But considering you know, lately anything coming from Warner Brothers is fairly solid for the most part, so. I'd certainly give it a try if given the opportunity.
Absolutely. And as I said, I was quite looking forward to this one. Nothing I saw put me off. I mean, the bloke was flying around on that fucking horse thing that I can't think of the name of. And that shows how casual a fan I am, but it looked cool. And who doesn't want to play that? COD, let's do this one quickly, because it's COD. Obviously, it's the biggest game in the world, but yeah, it's COD. It's going to be similar. It's going to be crap for a year. Then the next one will come out and you think, I missed last year's game, because that's how it works. And then people our age will reminisce about COD 4 to COD 6, and then everything else will be shit. So that's how COD is for me. Obviously we both played COD present and past. Anything here tickle your fancy? Obviously, Black Ops coming back somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. I mean, the gameplay sequence they showed off, it looks really good. And I said the same thing last year about the Modern Warfare reboot, and I still do want to play that game. I'm very intrigued by the campaign, but haven't gotten around to it. I'd be less so intrigued by Black Ops because just, you know, I was traditionally more of a Modern Warfare fan than a Black Ops fan. But the Black Ops series is a very solid series. You know, as you say, it is the biggest game in the world. It's going to sell like gangbusters. It's going to get eights and nines across the board critically. It's Call of Duty. You know, we know what to expect from it. I mean, I likely won't pick this one up straight away anyway. I mean, I do have a habit of picking Call of Duty games up when they're really old for like 10 euro or 10, 15 euro and playing through them kind of over a weekend, just playing, bashing through the campaign because you can kind of get through them quite quickly. And that's just something I enjoy doing. But that's just me. I've kind of aged out, I felt, somewhat from kind of the multiplayer and that. It's just not for me anymore. But as I said, I know a lot of people are going to be playing this game. I mean, what about yourself, guys? This one that you'll pick up kind of around the same time you pick up your Series X, or you might wait on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably pick it up at some point. Well, the Xbox Series X comes out on the 10th, which on my list in front of me, I have down as the 12th for some reason, which we discussed last week. It comes out on the 10th, and COD comes out on the 13th. So I'll probably play it, just because I've got a week before Cyberpunk, so I can play COD for a week. I think the deal is hopefully on continued on a new Xbox, you can still game share. So my mate will probably get that. I'll get Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed. He'll probably get COD and FIFA, and then I can get Watch Dogs as well. So yeah, that's probably how we'll split it. But yeah, it's one I'll pick. It's one I'll get picked up for me due to game sharing. But I'd probably pick it up eventually anyway, because it's just, it's not one I'm looking forward to the most out of that list, but it's just something to play with mates, really. And if it continues into Warzone, yeah. Plus, who doesn't love a COD campaign? Like, the more I've grown up, like, the three games I mentioned earlier, 4, 5, and 6, they were when I enjoyed multiplayer. But the campaigns, man, they're always good. They may be short, but they're always fun. Even Modern Warfare, I probably enjoyed the campaign more than any experience I have on Warzone, because I'm shit at it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as you say, the campaigns, with maybe exception of Call of Duty 3, which was a bit of a shit show, the campaigns are fairly solid on for each of the games, and some of them are quite notable. So as I said, that would be why I couldn't rule out picking it up eventually, because I do enjoy the campaign so much, and I can appreciate their length when I'm not paying 50-60 euro for the game. You know, if it's kind of a cheaper price, it's quite a no-brainer to pick it up. So, and that's, you know, that's my way of approaching Call of Duty. I know it's very different to a lot of people's. Certainly appreciate that, but that's, as I know, I'm in the minority there, and I know a lot of people will be picking this up kind of day one for their multiplayer experience.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The alphas, it might not be useful depending on when this podcast comes out, but I think the alpha's live on PlayStation now.
Today and tomorrow.
Yeah, so if you've listened to this in that time period, tell us what you thought about the alpha. I'll probably watch some people on Twitch/YouTube after this to see what it looks like. What's next? Next, I have closed docs. Resident Evil
Village.
I don't want to talk about this. not my game, it's your game. Is it enough Resident Evil action for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very short showing. They kind of had a more... Well, I wouldn't say it was short, but in comparison to the last showing. Resident Evil is arguably more popular than it's ever been. This game is going to do quite well. There's not much more I can say, but I'll eventually pick this one up, I'd say. It's one I won't exactly rush to pick up, but I will certainly pick it up at some point. And I feel it's going to do well, as I said, because we've seen how Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 2 Remake, Resident Evil 3 Remake, they've all done really well. They're kind of some of the highest selling Resident Evil games to date. So I'm expecting this game to continue that trend and do quite well.
Yeah, yeah. If you like the Resident Evil 1 previous, you'll like this one, I presume. Deathloop, we can kind of probably go through this one a bit quickly because we've seen this two events before, maybe even three. Obviously a bit more gameplay on this one. Again, my opinion's not really changed. I'd play this, but I'll probably be waiting for a year or so.
Yeah, I mean, it was more the same. It was kind of an extended gameplay, and the game does look fun, and as a fan of Arkane's previous projects, you know, it has a lot of Dishonored vibes, and I was a huge fan of the first Dishonored game. So I mean, this again is another game that it's certainly on my radar, and I'll certainly look to play. Obviously, initially, I think it was supposed to be a launch window game for the console, but it was delayed. Now, it wasn't the delay wasn't announced at the event, but the new release window was displayed at the end of the showing, and apparently it's coming out in Q2 2021, so it's going to be a summer title next year. I'm sure this game will do well, and as we've said in the past, it's a solid timed exclusive, and obviously they haven't clarified its exclusivity yet, but you know, the word is it's a timed exclusive, and I think it was a solid get by Sony on their part to pick that game up.
Yeah, it looks like an easy crowd pleaser, because as you mentioned, Arkane, with the Dishonored mechanics there, you know it's going to be a well-made game, and kind of the Hitman vibes you kind of got off it with the contracts and stuff like that. Obviously, you have all the Dishonored powers by the looks of it, but it give me them. When I say Dishonored and a mix of Hitman, that sounds amazing. So, yeah, I think that game will sell. It might not be huge. It might not be the biggest thing of 2021, or even the biggest thing of the summer, but it'll be one of them. I reckon that'd be a cult game quite easily.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of fits the bill for Arkane's games, so wouldn't surprise me at all if the game ends up kind of finding its own audience that laud it quite highly.
Yeah, absolutely. The digital game you mentioned in the intro part, Devil May Cry Special Devil May Cry 5, I should say, Special Edition, launched digitally. I'd never played a Devil May Cry game, so this means nothing to me.
Yeah, I was a big, big fan of the series in the past. I loved the first game, quite enjoyed the second and the third game, and then, you know, although I picked up Devil May Cry 4, I didn't put too much time into it, but I heard great things about Devil May Cry 5 and got very excited about it, and I did pick it up, but I just never got around to it. It's still very high on my to playlist, but I just haven't gotten there. This is one of those releases that I'm not too sure on, but from what I gather, it's coming out digital only, which may be a trend we see, as particularly with Capcom, because I know their digital game sales have massively outweighed their physical game sales in recent times, so that's obviously something they're aware of. And also notable is it seems this Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition is their way of reselling Devil May Cry 5 for the PlayStation 5 and the Series X and S, rather than simply upgrading Devil May Cry 5 for those consoles, which kind of irks me a little bit. I don't like that approach. You know, there's been a lot of controversy lately about Control taking a similar approach. I think it's very shameless. And I know with Control that they try to claim they're a smaller publisher and that kind of, but I just don't buy that excuse. Mm. And I'm not a fan of this system. Like in my mind, all PS, if you want to upgrade a PS4 or an Xbox One game for the new consoles, great, do it. You know, it's great fan service, but do not try to sell me the same game again. I don't like that approach, and I'm disappointed that it seems to be happening with a fair few titles at the moment.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. I think selling something as DLC is fine, but going, this is a special edition, it's just absolutely stupid. Shameful, if anything. Oddworld. If you like this game, you'll like this, I presume.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I mean, that's the best way to put it, really. I mean, the Oddworld games have their audience. I've never really been part of that audience. I have enjoyed, obviously, the you know, like most people, I played Abe's Odyssey in my childhood. But, you know, I was never a huge fan, and I never really had much interest in trying the subsequent games. But it is definitely a series that has its audience. It's very much a cult classic, I'd say. And, you know, I've always been intrigued by Lauren Lanning as a developer, like he's as a game director, like he's always interesting to listen to, kind of his various theories and that on games development. So it's a game I like watching from afar, but I'm unlikely to ever play. I mean, have you much experience with the series?
Same as you, really. Abe's Odyssey when I was a kid. On the original Xbox, there was Oddworld Stranger. I think it was an exclusive at the time. And that's one of my favourite games from the original Xbox, if not ever. So if that ever goes on Xbox backwards compatible, I'll be there. I think it might actually be on the Switch, so I might have to check that out. That's one of my favourite games ever. But no, not the Oddworld fan. I'd say it's a Game Pass game myself. Like if it ever did come to Xbox and it was in Game Pass, I'd play it. Maybe just for the nostalgia of childhood, as you say. I think most people our age would have played that PS1, PS2 days. Probably piss me off now. All platformers just piss you off now. I'm not sure how people get good at them. Five Nights at Freddy's. No, thank you.
Yeah, not. I've never. I think I played one of them for about 5 minutes once at someone else's place, and it's just not for me. It's very much just one of those YouTube games that people play for their pretend scares on camera. It's obviously there is somewhat of an audience out there for them. They keep making them, but it's certainly not a game that's on my radar, nor would ever be on my radar.
So you pissed him off and he got so Irish he said radar rock.
Yeah.
See what you do, Capcom, with your fucking Devil May Cry special edition. Demon's Souls, which may have been the best showing of this conference. It's a game that I will not play because I get pissed off at easy games. but it looks fantastic for what Demon's Souls must be. What, it must be 10, 15 years old? It must be a while, a good few years. Not 15, Jesus.
It was 2007. I think it was.
No, not too far.
So I think it's 13 years, yeah.
I'm getting
you
old.
Know, yeah, aren't we all? I mean, I played the original Demon's Souls to a degree on the PlayStation 3. Very hard game, and it's a game that does seem somewhat clunky. Actually, 2009, so it's a bit newer than I thought. It's wrong on that one. But it seems clunky now when you compare it to like Dark Souls and even more so Bloodborne. So it's certainly a game that could benefit from sprucing up and a remake, and that's obviously what it's getting. And as you say, it's really impressive looking, and I'm sure all those Soulsborne fans would have been on the edge of their seat
who love being punished.
Exactly, and I'm sure this is going to be this is obviously a launch title. It's been confirmed now, which. You know, I go back to my prediction before the initial event, so I call that one. But, you know, this is going to be the launch title of choice for a lot of people. I think, obviously, Spider-Man Miles Morales is probably going to top it, but I do think that Demon's Souls is definitely going to have that Soulsborne audience. There and it might sway some of them to go with their PS5 instead of an Xbox Series S or X because they have Demon's Souls there.
No, it's a very good point. I mean, we mentioned niche fan base things, cult. That's the word I'm looking for. We mentioned cult followings, and I think Demon's Souls the Souls and Bloodborne, as you say. Them games are probably the cultest of them all, seeing as you're not going to attract a casual gamer to go on Dark Souls, are you? can't even attract me, and I'm a sado. So yeah, if that's your thing, you'll probably pick up a PlayStation due to that reason. However, we don't know what Xbox has in its secret bag of tricks. So there might be some punishing on there. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But no, Demon's Souls, it looked hella impressive. I'll probably never play it because it'll never come onto my console of choice, and it'll just piss me off. I can't play Overwatch, and I'm alright at Overwatch. It'll just piss me off. But yeah, if you did that, is the fact you made it green, is that its second party, or is it something else on your colour coordination thing?
That means it's second party, yeah, because obviously Bluepoint Games are the main developers. A Japan studio are collaborating with them, who are a first party studio, but Bluepoint obviously are second party. There's long been talk that Sony would consider buying them, but it hasn't happened quite yet.
Because there was mixed messages after, I think someone knocked up a fake thing where it said it's a timed exclusive and it was on PC and stuff, but I think that got denied quite quickly. So yeah, that'll be it might go on. I think it'll probably go on PC eventually, won't it? Probably it won't go on Xbox or Switch though. Fortnite skip, unless you want to touch. Do you really want to touch on Fortnite?
No, I mean, they barely touched on it. It was like a 10-second trailer just to reiterate that Fortnite will be available at launch on PlayStation 5. No surprise that the people who play Fortnite are going to play it.
The biggest game of this gen is on the next gen. Who would have guessed that one? God of War Ragnarok, then. There was not much there, but this is also the best news from this show for me. Because we kind of thought this game might be ages away, because aren't Santa Monica making another game?
I'm not too sure. I thought there was a rumor. Other projects. There are big studios, so it wouldn't surprise me if they have multiple products on the go at the same time, because they have that capacity. But I haven't heard any solid titles myself yet. I'm just having to look there to see if there's anything.
I thought I heard rumors of it, to be fair, but maybe not. So
yeah, at the minute they just have God of War Ragnarok slated in there in terms of officials. So I mean, it's been 3 years. By April 2021, it's going to have been 3 years since God of War. Similar to Spider-Man, I imagine they're using the same engine. You know, some things are going to be spruced up. It's going to look a bit better, but it's not going to be, they're not going to be reworking the wheel. So, you know, 3 years is a pretty solid turnaround. And it might even be, given the popularity of the first game, they might feel comfortable to push this to being a holiday game. And especially if we're expecting that Horizon Forbidden West will be a springtime, early summer kind of game. This well could be a holiday game. So then you're talking 3.5 years, which there really shouldn't be much of a surprise there. So I wasn't too surprised by that, but I was really happy to see it. It was a really cool one more thing. I mean, God of War was an amazing game. We reviewed it on the pod, and we've been dying for more. And you know, I inevitably found myself, when listening to Kratos's voice, putting on my impression of Kratos and saying boy. You know, that's how you have to do it. So really excited for this one, and I can't wait to see more. I mean, maybe we'll see more at like the Games Awards or something later in the year.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you that. I was gonna say, do you find it weird we haven't seen footage of Horizon or this? But I completely forgot the Game Awards existed. So yeah, that probably makes more sense. But I mean, I'll ask you the question nevertheless. Obviously, they showed Horizon last one, and everything else was shown twice, but obviously built on it hugely. Is it just a bit weird Horizon's not there? Could you see one of these getting delayed to 2022?
No, I'm not too concerned about it, especially with the news that it's coming to PS4 as well. I am expecting it next year, and I'm expecting it likely to be in the first half of next year, maybe April, May type of time would make sense for it. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think just Sony feel they have so much that they don't need to show each game every time. And that's been their approach in recent years to events. I mean, for a long time, it was kind of like show everything, then show everything 2 months later, show everything, you know, and that was, now it's kind of like, well, we've got these 8 titles. Let's show these 4 today, and we'll show these 4 in 3 months. They're a lot more staggered. I mean, like, look at, despite today, we did get another look at Spider-Man and Demon Souls, and that, you know, that was likely because you didn't see that much of them at the last event. But Horizon, along with Sackboy, you know, for example, weren't shown again, nor was Ratchet and Clank. Like, they were all absent from this week's event. So I feel they're just trying to give every title their time in the light. So I don't want to read too much into kind of Horizon's absence from this event, because I don't think it'll have an impact on its release. I mean, what are your thoughts? You know, are you concerned at all about it?
I'm concerned about God of War getting delayed, because that's the only reason I'll buy a PS5 in the next year. I shouldn't have asked the question, really, because it's impossible to know. We've not even seen the state of game. We've seen it was like a very quick cinematic for Horizon, wasn't it? And we saw nothing of God of War, so there's not really much to see to say until the Game of Year awards, which are normally in December, aren't they? So the time scale makes sense there, especially you'd guess Horizon would be the early one, considering it's on PS4 as well. Confirmed for PS4 as well. We probably don't have that information yet for God of War, but you presume it's PS5 only. So that being the November release would probably make sense. But yeah, I'd probably say God of War, because they actually showed a cinematic of Horizon Zero Dawn, even though it's probably pretty easy to knock up a cinematic. So yeah, not really concerned, but if I was to get a PS5, I'll probably just get the digital edition when God of War comes out, because I know the games will be cheaper and stuff like that, but I use my PS4 like once every 2 years, so there's no point spending the big money. Plus, where will I keep my discs? Shall we quickly go through the launch lineup just to confirm it before we finish?
Yeah, I think it's certainly worth a discussion, and obviously the prices of the games are noteworthy.
Right, so launch lineup for PC, PlayStation, Astro's Playroom, pre-installed on PS5, so you can't get rid of that, people. Demon's Souls, £70 sold for. Destruction's All-Stars, £70, jeez. Spider-Man, £52. Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, £70. And Sackboy Adventure, £60. So, I mean, it's not anything we unexpected, and obviously, as we've gone through, we've kind of confirmed these as well. But you mentioned the prices before we started recording and just had a nod to them there. Is the fact that the games are £70, I mean, we touched on this before with 2K and NBA. Obviously, exclusives, the kind of a selling point for each console. Do you think the fact that PlayStation games are going to be £70 at launch, whereas the Xbox ones, albeit the exclusives, well, we don't know what they are, but there's not going to be a big hitter there. Let's be honest, Halo's not there. So whatever surprise that Xbox has had, whatever, it's not going to match up to Sony's, and we know that. But the fact that when Sony exclusives come out, they're going to be £70. With Xbox, they're going to be in Game Pass straight away. We know this. So is that, I don't know, not a misstep, but is that just kind of a lost opportunity for PlayStation, where they could go, we still want to give you value, we're going to price lock these for the first 2 years or something?
Yes, I mean, I can understand where you're coming from. It is a notable difference when, one, you're effectively getting as part of a £10 subscription, the other you're paying £70 a go for. And I mean, with Sony obviously being the publisher of the games and also the platform holder, it's not like they're paying a platform holder like other publishers are. So they can afford for their games to be cheaper than say, an EA's or an Activision's. So it's certainly something they could have done. And particularly when you look at the price, I mean, we you know, here, it's been a while since I bought a game in the UK, so maybe I'm a little out of date with your prices. But, you know, ours are generally €60, and I would have thought yours were £50, which is somewhat equivalent. But, you know, you informed me earlier that mostly they are £60 well, already.
Digital 60 on disc, you get them a smidge cheaper, I think, the usual crack. But I think for me, like I mentioned last week, I got the Avengers. That was £60 on the Xbox store. But I think you could probably get it 50 on, say, CD keys.
What's Avengers on PS4 right now on Amazon, just out of interest? So we can have a bit of a comparison. Why is it not giving me PC and video games? One second. So Avengers right now on... What the?
It's £50 on Argos.
Well, there we go. It's £50 on Amazon. So yeah, so
£10.
I mean, generally, you know, kind of disc games are £50 in retailers. So I mean, I suppose we don't know what retailers are going to do as far as the recommended retail price with these games. So I suppose we have to see on that front. But I mean, I was fully expecting, you know, going on our prices for here in Ireland, you know, being in the Eurozone, €60. I was expecting that to go up to €70 for a lot of games. Mm. But the fact it's now going up to €80, that seems like a mass. It's a leap of like 25%. It's quite notable. And I'm a little, you know, kind of irked by that. I mean, I'm not an opponent to putting up the price of games, but I think game prices should vary wildly. You know, I think some companies have been happy to do that in recent times. And, you know, I think an example often used is Ratchet and Clank, which was, $45 rather than €60. And I was like £40 rather than £50-55, whatever the case might be. And I feel more games should do that, but some games can go the other way. Like, you know, looking at these games, like Demon's Souls, for me, maybe because of the difficulty extending it out, but is it a game that warrants an €80 price tag? I'm not so sure. Maybe 70 would seem more on par for me. Destruction All-Stars is a game that I question, would it possibly be a free-to-play game?
I think we said 30, didn't we?
Quite a budget. Mm. So, I mean, I'd be very fascinated to see how this game does at a £70 price tag. Like, I think we'll see massive price drops on that game.
I can't see many people. Quickly. That's definitely going to be the second part of your bundle, isn't it?
Yeah. Then you've got Sackboy, which is £60, obviously it is the budget title, but that doesn't seem like much of a budget title. That's still more than what you're going to pay for Cyberpunk or God of War Valhalla, which just seems crazy to me. So I do have slight concerns over the pricing of the games. As I said, I don't mind a general kind of fluctuation of prices, but I think it should be very much based on the game itself. And while I'd be more than happy to spend €80 on a Cyberpunk or on an Elder Scrolls 6 or
Witcher 4.
Avowed or Witcher 4 when it eventually comes. Happy, more than happy to spend €80 on a game that I know I'll get 100 hours plus from. But on other games, and even then you could argue that for like a Call of Duty or something, but then there comes the question of maybe what do you do with season passes? Do you tie them in? How does it work? I don't know. That's for the publishers to decide. But with these games, I'm not sure one of them jumps out at me as having €80 worth of value in them. And I say that as a massive Spider-Man fan. I'm not even sure I'd be willing to pay €80 for the ultimate edition of Spider-Man Miles Morales. I mean, what's your thoughts on kind of individual pricing?
Yeah, I mean, paying £70, €80, is it $80?
Yeah, it'd be the same, yeah.
It is kind of pricing people up, but I suppose not everyone's a spoiled little gimp like us, where, well, like me. I won't put you in it. I'll call myself a spoiled little gimp. Where I don't have much expenses, I should say, so I could probably get two games in the space of a week, for example, or two. I wouldn't be able to do much more, but fortunately I am a sad bastard and I don't have much of a life. So I could probably do that, whereas we mentioned it last week. If you're a parent trying to get a kid a PlayStation 5 and they want Spider-Man and COD for Christmas, that'll be nearly £600 with it.
Well, I mean, if you're going for the original version, it's going to be over £600 for the disc version. If you go for the all digital version, then it's £480.
Right. So,
in fact, no, I'm
no, no, it's four, it's 450.
No. So it's more. Yeah,
it's 450. Then Spider-Man, if you get the Spider-Man Ultimate Edition, that's £70.
And so 70 it'd be, for
cards. It'd be 590 for two games on the console.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
And then obviously it's 500 then obviously for the digital edition and the two games. Mm.
Adding stuff like headsets as well. Isn't the PlayStation headset 70 quid? 80 quid? Something like that?
It's quite notable. I mean, me personally, if I manage to secure a pre-order, I'll probably pick up the regular version of Miles Morales and nothing else. Like, I'll have recently obviously picked up Cyberpunk as well, so I'm sure that's going to take a minute to complete.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll likely pick that up that day, obviously. So that's going to be really me. Like, I don't think I'll be, you know, obviously a few months down the line, I'll likely look to pick up the likes of Assassin's Creed Valhalla and maybe a couple other games. But I think that's price tag for launch games is quite prohibitive to people picking up multiple games.
A lot of these pre-orders, I haven't seen much bundled. I might be completely wrong on this because I've not looked into it personally, obviously. You probably have a bit. But do you get games bundled with it? I'm sure everyone remembers the games that got with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox. I think I got Rise with mine. But do you remember what you got with your PlayStation 4?
I got the PlayStation 4 a year on. And I got the white PS4 which was bundled with Destiny. So I got it the day that Destiny launched. I think three of my friends also got the very same bundle on the very same day.
Lovely. Sorry, I was going to say, have you seen what PS5s have been bundled with? Because I've just seen the console and controller, usually, in the screenshots I've seen.
Yeah, I think manufacturer bundles generally come down the line. They're rarely at launch.
Right, okay.
So I doubt we're going to see any specific bundles like that Destiny one. But obviously, retailers are going to have their bundles. I wouldn't be surprised to see kind of like, obviously the console is 500, the controller is 60, the games are 70. Maybe there could be a bundle which we see for, say, well, if retailers are feeling quite kind, maybe £600 for an extra controller and a game. Less likely, maybe 610, 615, something like that, kind of from retailers. That'll be something we'll see a little closer, I suppose. But for now, I don't expect any retail or any manufacturer bundles. I mean, obviously you're getting Astro's Playroom pre-installed, and obviously we didn't really talk too much about it, but you've also got the PlayStation Plus.
Ah, yes, of course.
Collection, which means that a lot of PlayStation 4 games will be free to PlayStation Plus owners to play on their PS5, like God of War, Last of Us Remastered, some third party games like Fallout 4 and Final Fantasy 15 as well. Not the more recent PlayStation exclusives. Like I think God of War was kind of the newest. Oh, and Days Gone. Days Gone is also included, but it doesn't include The Last of Us Part 2 or Ghost of Tsushima. But it seems to have most of the other big hitters as well as some notable third-party games, which seems to be like a start for a PlayStation answer to Games Pass. And obviously it's no extra, although at the same time, Xbox have virtually made Xbox Live Gold free by tying into Game Pass, so it doesn't. It's pretty much still comparable, but it's a nice time. I was going to say,
Do you think PlayStation need to match the Game Pass thing? Because we just mentioned, obviously, the PlayStation. It's going to sell the more consoles out there too. I presume maybe the S will compete, but I don't think the X will compete. But PlayStation's about selling the console and what they own, the games and stuff. Whereas Xbox, obviously they want to sell as many consoles as possible, but it's about selling the service more so. Do you think PlayStation need to do that? Because it seems like it's two different business strategies, really.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it last week about how Games Pass, already been the best value in gaming, is getting even better, and how, you know, despite their lead, you know, we both felt that Sony needed to do something to start to answer. They don't need to necessarily match it, but they need to be seen as making an effort. And I think this is that effort. Now, it might have been nice if they threw in like one PS5 game with it, you know, maybe Sackboy or Destruction All-Stars, you know, one that's likely not to sell as much as the rest, but maybe that'll come three, six months down the line, whatever the case. But it is a nice start. I think they might have to improve on it in time. I don't think they can sit on their laurels, because I think Microsoft are always striving to make Game Pass bigger and better, and they'll continue to do so. But it is a nice half step by PlayStation to matching Game Pass, and I think it was necessary. I mean, as the Xbox primary gamer looking in, I mean, do you see this as comparing to Game Pass in any way?
I don't think it really is. I don't think so until they start adding current games in, like not just exclusives. Like I'm not expecting them to put God of War 2 in or Horizon Zero Dawn 2 in, because them games sell enough to be a success. Where obviously Xbox didn't have the console base, so they needed to attract people other ways. So I don't think they need to put new games in, but I think what the most telling is when Last of Us 2 goes in, then we can get a time period of when stuff goes in. So when PS5, I don't know, say we're in the second year of PS5 and the Miles Morales edition goes in, if it's like every 2 years a game goes in, I don't think that's the same thing as Game Pass. I think Game Pass is a live catalogue, whereas PS Now collection or whatever it was called, it seems like a backwards compatibility thing, catalog rather than a live catalog, if you get what I mean. I think it might be more of a contender with backwards compatibility than Game Pass at the minute. But if it develops into that and it takes, I don't know, let's use films going from cinema to being able to rent them on Sky Box Office or something. It's usually like 4 months, 6 months, something like that. And then it goes on to Sky Movies in another 4 to 6 months. So if it's got that time period, like 6 months to a year, when it goes into PS Now collection, then I think you can kind of talk it up, because albeit I'm sure the games are still selling, like I'm sure there's like people still buying The Last of Us 2 now. But then you can sell them the PS Now collection in a year rather than cheap, like what's Last of Us 2 now, probably like £30 on disc, so you could probably sell them PS Now collection rather than that disc. So yeah, I think it's kind of in between backwards compatibility and Game Pass rather than a competitor to either.
Yeah, I can certainly understand your point. But it is nice, particularly, you know, following on from what we were talking about, that the price before, that the game price of games might be somewhat prohibitive. You know, having Astro's Playroom and these PS4 games on there at launch, as well as, you assume, you know, a large part of your existing PS4 library will be playable on there too. It is nice, because I mean, I think it'll be a while before a lot of people can put together a library for these consoles, given the price of the games.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'll probably help more with the second tier is probably harsh, but not the AAA top dollar Last of Us, God of War stuff. I think it'll help more with the Days Gone stuff, because you probably didn't want to drop £60 on Days Gone at the time, but you might want to check it out on the PS4 Now collection. I'm sure it got mixed reviews. It might have improved after 18 months or so. So I think that's where it'll help with games, really. I obviously see the point of putting third-party games in there, but with PlayStation's first-party catalogue, I think you could focus in on more like that. I don't see many people like going back and playing Arkham Knight on the PS Now collection, for example.
Yeah, I don't think it will be massively utilized for now. Some people might get teed into the odd PS4 game that they miss, particularly if they're bit enhanced. And obviously, some people who are maybe massive fans of God of War or something, if it plays better on PS5. And especially with God of War Ragnarok on their minds, they might fancy a replay. But I don't think it's going to be like see widespread use, because a lot of the kind of hardcore gamers are going to have to played the majority of these games. I mean, I know I have. I know obviously you have. I know a lot of people we would speak to on a regular basis about games have. But it's just a nice little thing to have, and it's just looks nice on the surface to be giving games things similar to giving Astro's Playroom, free. It's just good PR at the end of the day. Like it's nice kind of service for the fans. It just makes Sony puts Sony in a better light. To be honest, it's not a game changer, but it just looks good.
Yeah, I think it's just trying to have the consumer-friendly approach that Xbox has kind of needed to do for a while, whereas Sony, they kind of came up with a... Some people liked it and some people didn't, but we mentioned it at the start, whereas the PS4 and PS5 cross-gen, that might not be the most consumer-friendly thing. Or it wasn't at the time when it was PS5 only, so maybe that was a change rather than a... mistake, as I mentioned earlier. So maybe they're just trying to get a bit more consumer friendly to try and match Xbox's stance on stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think they know that although Xbox lost the last generation, they've often been the one that have been put in the nicest light by the media and
cross-play
fans.
So yeah,
they were the first to get on board for that. So I think Sony need to make some moves in that space, and then there certainly is one such move.
Yeah, exactly. But that's pretty much it, unless there's anything you want to add from the event that I've missed.
No, I mean, I think we've well covered it there, and I just kind of reiterate that I thought it was a fairly solid showing, and I think Sony have kind of did what they needed to do, and I'm certainly on board for picking up a PlayStation 5 if I can track one down. So, you know, if you get a heads up of anywhere that delivers to Ireland, has pre-orders live again, tweet the 1UP account. I'd appreciate that. shameless, but you know, you got to use what you have to. You got to try.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought it was a very, very solid showing, and I think the lineup looks quite strong. I mean, what were your kind of closing thoughts?
Yeah, I thought the build on the last show really well, to be honest. I thought at the time I was probably being a bit of an Xbox fanboy bitch, I won't lie. I was thinking this is just loads of rehashed shit, but when you thought about it, no, they've probably done that on purpose. They've built on the teasers, shall we say, and I think that's done quite well. So yeah, as I said at the start, I think this has been the best one of the summer so far, really. And it'll be interesting to see how Xbox responds with their launch event thingy. If they actually have one, they might end up everything might just get leaked a week before and then just show it on Twitter. But yeah, I thought it was quite impressive without blowing me away, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll finish up there, unless you've been playing anything different you want to talk about from last week.
No, I'm still kind of very much in trying to get things played, but it's fine the time at the moment. I think like yourself, I mean, you're more of an extreme, but I think football's been taking up a lot of spare time lately. So.
Yes, it has. but no, we'll finish up there because I've been just playing Overwatch as well, and nobody cares because it's like a 5-year-old game. It's not, but yeah. We'll finish up there then. Thank you, Carl, and thank you everyone for listening. Christ, like almost 2 short shows in a row. You'll start complaining soon that they're not 2 hours long. Well, thank you for listening. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.